listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Bonjour mes amis, comment ça va? Je m'appelle Ed McGrogan, back once again with the Tennis in 10 podcast, recapping Roland Garros in under 10 minutes. And after Wednesday's play over in Paris, we have a significant change in plans, according to the presumptive 51st meeting between Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal. That will not happen at Roland Garros. Dominic Thiem will instead be playing the nine-time champion. Thiem, with a 7-6, 6-3, 6-0 win over Djokovic, the defending champion, rendering the Serb without a major title after holding all four of them just 12 months ago. It's quite a development from, I think a micro level and a macro level. I wrote about that a little earlier when recapping the match. And you want to start with Thiem, who was flattened by Djokovic in Rome, only won one game against him, turns around and beats him comprehensively over three sets. Now, the big portion of that match, and Djokovic wanted to say this himself in press, was the fact that in the first set, Djokovic didn't convert on two set points. You owe a lot of that to Thiem, though, and you owe a lot of the match to Thiem. Just hitting out forehand, backhand, really the one who took it to Djokovic all around, and in great contrast to Rome, as I said. But there's a lot that's to be said for Djokovic as well, and I think that's kind of the big picture, discussion at the moment is just trying to figure out what has happened to him and in such a quick time. And I think he's kind of at a loss to explain it himself. He's fielded that question in press after each of his slam losses kind of throughout the year, when he got rid of his coaching team, when he brought in Andre Agassi to sort of help consult him in Paris. Djokovic doesn't have the answer to that either, so I don't think it's reasonable to expect us to have a definitive, declaration on really this fall from the top from Djokovic. And he is going to fall out of the top two, possibly all the way down to number four, depending on what happens over the next few days here. But it was a shocking third set to really see him kind of wave the white flag here. He looked like he wanted to be anywhere but playing out in the Terabatu. Muguruza, Garbo Muguruza, last year's defending champion, sort of went out and said it was almost a relief to have this tournament behind her, that she wouldn't be asked about or have to deal with the expectations and pressure of it. And I think the men's defending champion went out in a very similar way. I thought his comments afterwards signaled that he still needs to kind of reassess and determine kind of where he is as a player, and kind of within his I think his the motivation is the word that's thrown about very casually, but certainly that's part of this, and it's going to be very interesting to see how Djokovic handles the remainder of this summer, because this is, I don't think anybody could have expected this after, 1 year ago at this time. Thiem, as I said, will face Nadal. Nadal gets through another match easily, but this time it wasn't, straight sets. It was one set, two love, retirement by Carreño Busta. The less said about that, the better. And, we have a matchup where Thiem and Rafa have played recently before. Thiem has a win over Nadal that came in Rome. So I think it's a very anticipated match. As I said, I think this, to me, I'm not really too broken up about missing another Rafa-Novak match right now, considering where Djokovic seems to be in his own head and how good Rafa is looking. It really does seem like, one of the remaining men in the draw, either Thiem or perhaps Stan Wawrinka on the other side, is really the only one who's going to give Rafa the kind of match that can disrupt him from winning that 10th title. So team will get the first crack, and you know, we'll see what happens with that. But the other side, you know, a finalist will emerge from either Wawrinka or Murray. Both of them win their quarterfinals. Pretty drama-free, kind of two duds of matches to end a very busy day, quarterfinals. Murray did drop a set to Nishikori, but really, you know, was untroubled for, you know, much of the rest of the way. Closed it out pretty handily. Stan Wawrinka and Marin Cilic, the quarterfinal I said would be the best one of the bunch, was one of the worst of the bunch, so again, the less said about that, the better. But I do really like that semifinal as well. Both of them coming in with, you know, it doesn't seem like any sort of scars, injuries. You know, Murray's played more sets than Wawrinka. He's lost three sets, unless I'm missing one at least. So I think that's a very enticing quarterfinal, a semifinal. You would be pretty surprising for that not to go at least four and possibly five. What you had in the middle of that was, you know, was two women's quarterfinals that, you know, in a way, as Djokovic kind of went away from team, you saw the same thing happen with Pliskova against Halep, but it was under very different circumstances. That was the 3-5 quarterfinal, and you have Pliskova running out to a very early lead in the match, you know, a significant lead, 5-0. Halep making it a set, ultimately losing that set, and then Pliskova again taking the reins in the second set to lead 5-1, and even love 30 on Halep's service game that came next. So it was as if in a game of horse, you give, you know, H-O-R-S and then E with like three of the four lines of the E crossed off. It was that close to victory. And at that point, there's no, I mean, I'm going to extol Halep in a second, but you can't not comment on the nerves that Svitolina felt. You know, she drops the next five games. She had never reached a Grand Slam semi before. You know, that played a huge part in what went down there. Really just unable, you know, I almost felt that as soon as she failed to serve out the match for the first time, you could see this coming. And second time she serves for the match at 5-4, she gets down 0-40. I believe she's broken at love. Amazingly, and that, you know, is certainly owed to you know, Halep obviously raising her level of play. You know, she was making life miserable for Svitolina, who was unable to hit a winner by her at all, getting everything back, not just, you know, as a backboard, but doing a lot with the balls too. But you know, when necessary, it was simply getting the shot back, tracking it down. Svitolina came up with the error almost every single time by the end. Incredibly, Svitolina got to a match point in the tiebreaker, which I was surprised she even got to 6-6. She ends up with a match point, but is unable to put it away, not off of an error. It was a hell of a volley winner, I believe, but you know, as soon as this went to three, you knew that it was only a matter of time, and it was 6-0 by the end of it. Yet again, another 6-love set in the second week of a tournament. There's two more today, just incredible. So Halep, you know, saves her opportunity. She'll face Carolina Pliskova, who beat Caroline Garcia, the last French woman in the draw. I think I erroneously said that was Mladenovic yesterday on the podcast. Apologies. Pliskova was also unsure, you know, had some moments in this match where it could have tilted toward Garcia's way, but she gets through. So you'll have Baczynski and Ostapenko, who are playing for a spot in their first major final tomorrow on their birthdays, both of them, no less. And they'll place either Halep or Pliskova, who have each reached a major final before. So we'll talk about those women's semis tomorrow on the Tennis in 10 podcast. Au revoir.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to tennis.com.